We're talking about dua, and this class is going to be very comprehensive, as you can see from the table of contents. We're going to be going over, inshallah ta'ala, this class and possibly as well into the next class, the virtues of dua. Then actually what is dua and the various forms and types of dua. Then we're going to go into the fiqh of dua. Can you make dua in sajda? Can you make dua in a different language in the salah? What about qunut? All these different types of fiqh masail that relate to dua. We're going to talk about the concept of tawassul. Tawassul, and for those who know, there is a bit of controversy in regards to the understanding of tawassul. What are permissible forms of tawassul? What are impermissible forms of tawassul? Daily adhkar, and so the morning and evening adhkar, we kind of started it. If we remember, we were started at the beginning of October last year, and then October 7th happened, and we completely shifted. So we'll be able to get through it in this series. Allah's names and attributes, dhikrullah, salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the concept of acceptance and rejection of dua. How do I know my dua has been accepted? How do I know that I'm making dua and I should stop making dua because I've been making dua for so long? And it seems like the doors are closing. It seems like it's not happening. Does that mean that there's a sign that I should stop saying it and all these sorts of things? So it's going to be quite comprehensive, bidnillahi ta'ala. Today is all about the virtues. Whenever you study any subject, whenever you talk about any topic, the first thing that you study is the fadail of that particular topic. And you will see many of the books, the scholars will also always start with the importance. It's not just within the Islamic sciences, any field that you study, the first class in the beginning is always about the importance of what you are studying. Why are you studying what you're studying? And the reason is to increase the motivation to continue to the end. Because everyone knows, everyone starts at the beginning. Everyone starts at the beginning. If you look at any YouTube series, like a long series, like 40, 50, a Sirah series or Allah's Names and Attributes, look at the first episode views and look at the last episode views. It's the 10% rule. So only 10% of the people who start actually finish. And that's the case even for live as well as it is online. And mashallah ta'ala, there's alhamdulillah, good turnout here today. But it's probably going to be about 10% that actually come to every single class and finish it to the end. So be of the 10%, be of the qaleel, be of the few. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشُّكُورِ. Few of my servants are actually grateful. Few of amongst them were the ones who had faith and continued to persevere in at-taqwa. The Muslim and the believer is always of the few, always of the few. Even in this world, the believers are a minority compared to the disbelievers. So always ask Allah, some of the Salaf, they used to ask Allah, Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Oh Allah, make me amongst the few. Makes me amongst the few. Make me amongst the few. Because there's always the few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends khair for. So at this moment, make that intention. As we go through the fada'il of dua, use that as motivation to say, I need to learn. I need to study. I need to understand all the things that have to do with dua. Because dua, as we're going to come to, is the most important skill, and I'm using the word skill purposefully here. It is the most important skill that you can learn in your life. There are many skills that you've learned to do, to walk, to ride a bike, to drive a car, to all the skills that you have learned throughout your years, to use a computer, to use your phone, whatever it may be. The most important skill in your life is the skill of making dua, and it is a skill. And it is something that requires effort, and it is something that requires understanding how to do. Many people are unaware of how to make dua, how to call upon Allah, how to do it in a way that the dua is most likely to be accepted, how to prevent things that are actually stopping the dua from being accepted. And so studying this topic is something that is so important because it is your lifeline. It is your only way that you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through dua. That is the only way, your only portal, your only window, your only bab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this concept of dua. So, bismillah, we start with number one. Virtue number one. The Quran begins with a dua. That shows how important dua is because the Quran actually begins with a dua. And which dua is that? Surah Al-Fatiha, of course. Surah Al-Fatiha. Do you realize Surah Al-Fatiha is actually a dua? The actual surah is a dua. from the beginning to the end. And in fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, out of all the du'as that have been revealed to us, the greatest of the du'as is Surah Al-Fatiha, because it combines the two types of du'a. Now we're going to talk about this when it comes to session or chapter 2, but there are two types of du'a. There is du'a al-ibadah, there is the du'a of worship, or another phrase to call the same form is du'a al-thana, the du'a of praising. So the du'a of worship slash praising, you could say du'a al-ibadah or du'a al-thana, means the same thing. This type of du'a is actually a du'a where you're not asking Allah for anything. There's no request. Can someone give me an example of a prophet making a du'a in the Quran where he doesn't actually ask Allah for anything? Yes. Ayyub alayhi salam. Okay, what is it? You can't just say the prophet's name. I mean, anyone can say the prophet's name, probably. Amazing. Subhanallah. Bismillah. Okay, I forgot my mystery box, but bismillah. Sheikh Ala is coming soon, so it's all about the chocolates. So there you go. Rabbi inni massani ad-dur wa anta arhamar rahimin. This is a dua in the Quran. Oh Allah, I have been touched with dur, with hardship. Wa anta arhamar rahimin. And you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Now, is this a dua? Yes or no? It's a dua. It's even saying, my Lord. Now, where is the ask? Did he ask Allah for anything? Where is it? No, he didn't. He didn't actually ask Allah for anything. What did he do? He described his situation and he praised Allah. Anta arhamar rahimin. Any other examples? Yunus alayhi salam. Very good. What is the dua of Yunus? Can you believe Yunus alayhi salam is in the belly of a whale or some sort of sea creature in the depths of the ocean? And what is his dua? What would our dua be? You're in that situation. May Allah protect us all. But I think there was a few years ago, I saw this thing of some person being swallowed by a whale for a bit, and then it was in Spain, I think, happened in the Mediterranean. But anyways, say you're in that position, what would your instinctive reaction to be? Inshallah, it's not explicitives and all the other things that it might be, but alhamdulillah, you guys are all, mashallah, tabarakallah, on a different level. What would your reaction be? You guys shout it out. Tell me, what would you say? You literally found yourself in a whale. What would you say? Ya Allah, get me out. Very good. No need to mince words. You guys are thinking of some eloquent way of saying, oh Allah, exit me from this whale like the exit of the air from the bow. No. You're just going to scream, oh Allah, get me out. Ya Allah, get me out. Ya Allah, get me out. SubhanAllah. What was Yunus alayhi salam's dua? La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There's nothing worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you. I have been of the wrongdoers. Dua, yes. In fact, it's called Dua of Yunus, and this is a sunnah for us to say in times of calamity. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, as Allah says in the Quran. And that is how we save the believers, through the means of a dua. So, was there an ask? No, no ask. It was just praising Allah. This is called dua al-ibadah. This is dua al-thana. This is just a dua of pure praising Allah. Another one. Anyone know another one? Yes. Beautiful. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Who made this dua? Very good. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, that comes through the narrations to us. But in the Quran, that phrase comes. It's not the Ibrahim alayhi salam that says it. Who says Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel in the Quran? Who does Allah quote in the Quran? It was the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battles when they said, "Inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum," that verily everyone has gathered against you, so you should fear them. The hypocrites are saying this to the companions. And the companions, and Allah says, "Fazadahum imanan," their iman increased. "Waqalu hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel," and they said, "Allah is sufficient for us and he is the best wakil." Wakil in modern day Arabic means agent, literally like an agent, a wakil or a lawyer. Someone who advocates for you or someone who does things for you, like an agent. So obviously to Allah belongs the highest example. You get the idea. Allah is your wakil, meaning everything Allah will take care of for you. Excellent. And there are more and more. What did Adam alayhi salam say when he ate from the tree? What was his dua? Of forgiveness. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Our Lord, we wronged ourselves. وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you don't show forgiveness to us or mercy to us, we'll be of the losers. There was actually not an ask, was it? So many of the scholars then say that out of the two types, so now that's the first type of dua, dua al-ibadah. And you see the Quran is filled with dua al-ibadah and dua al-thana, where a person, they profess the truth that they understood in their hardship. That's the point. Dua is not about a wish list. This is key lesson number one of paradigm shifting our understanding of dua. Dua isn't about a wish list. Dua is your means of communicating with Allah. And in particular, dua is your way to show to Allah you have learned the lesson from that test. You have learned the lesson from that test. So the lesson from the test of Ayyub alayhi salam, losing his family, losing his health, losing his wealth, was أَنِّي مَسِّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. The lesson of still knowing that Allah is the most merciful of those who show mercy despite his pain. That was the lesson that he was able to learn, to find the rahmah in the difficulty. Then he professes this to Allah, that I learned this through this, O Allah. أَنْتَ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And of course, implicit within this then is, O Allah, remove this calamity from me. I've recognized, I've understood. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I was of the ظالمين. I deserve this. I realize now the wrong that I had done. I realize now, لا إله إلا أنت. There's nothing worthy of worship, devotion, or attention except for you. Not my ego, not my nafs. You, I've learned this. I realize my mistakes. That is the point. So you go from just trying to get out of bad situations to learning what was the jewel, the pearl, the wisdom that you were meant to learn from that situation, and you express that to Allah. And every single wisdom, every single pearl, it goes back to the names and attributes of Allah. The names and attributes of Allah. That's ultimately what you learn. Many people fall short when it comes to learning the lessons of their hardships by saying, oh, it taught me to be disciplined. Oh, it taught me to be patient. It's about me, nafsi. Fair enough, that's the inter, that's the sabab. It did cause you to grow. It did make you realize your blessings, etc. But the true lesson is when you link it back to Allah and His names and attributes. That you realize, oh, I learned through this trial the blessings I took for granted. So what did you learn about? You learned about Al-Mun'im, the one who bestows the blessings. You learned about Ar-Rahman, the one who shows mercy. And so you then express to Allah, Anta Ar-Rahman, Anta Al-Mun'im. You know, you Anta Al-Hannan, Mannan. You express the names and attributes of Allah that you have learned about, that you have witnessed through those times in your life. That is the point of dua al-thana. That is the point of dua al-ibadah. That is the point. So the scholars, so that's the first type. The second type is dua al-mas'ala. Dua al-mas'ala, which is a dua of asking, of requesting, where you're asking Allah for something specifically. And the sunnah is filled with this. We also have Quranic du'as that are also part of this. رَبَّنَا آمَنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us the good in this world, the good in the next world. Oh Allah, forgive us of our sins. This is mas'ala. This is mas'ala. So of the two forms, because you can make dua of the two forms. The first one is you realize who Allah is and you realize what you're meant to learn about Allah through that time in your life. The second one is what you realize about yourself and what you really need. And that's the point, what you really need. Many people, they don't make dua about what they actually want, what they really desire, but rather they make dua for what they think will get them to what they want. Example, a person wants a job or get into a professional school or to, you know, a particular spouse or whatever it may be, a potential. What do they want? They don't want that particular job. They think that job is going to give them risk, right? At the end of the day, if the risk was going to grow on the trees and fall on their on their lap, they're not going to go to work, right? So what do they really want? They want risk. It's fine to make dua for the means. You can ask Allah for anything, but it's the idea of knowing what you really want and then asking Allah for that. That's why you find the prophetic du'as are general. They're general. They speak for am. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa 'amalan mutaqabbala. If you want to know the du'a for a successful life, for a high achieving life, for a high impact life, it's in this one du'a. That's it. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. O Allah, grant me beneficial knowledge. Beneficial knowledge of the deen, of course, but any knowledge that will give me benefit. Knowledge, skills, education, whatever it may be. You need to know before you can do anything. Knowledge is the first. وَعِلْمًا نَافِعًا وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا. And, O Allah, grant me a risk to sustain me. To sustain me. Sustenance. All the things that can preserve me. A shelter, food, whatever it may be, so I survive. And the third is وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا. Actions that are accepted. These are the three things in your life. The three things in your life. Your knowledge, your actions, and your risk. And it's all in this one dua. So dua al-mas'ala is about finding out what you really want. What do you really want? And asking Allah for that. Now you can ask for the means, that's fine. But what's the risk when you ask for the means? Not a risk, but what's the point when you ask for the means? You don't know if that was best for your risk. You don't know if that's best for your marriage. You don't know at all. You are guessing. Rajman bil ghayb. You're throwing arrows in the dark. You're thinking, yeah, this guy's the one. This girl's the one. This is the job I need to do. This is the program I need to get into. This is the whatever it may be. You don't know that that's the best. And that's one of the things why people get so frustrated with dua sometimes. Because they're so much focused on the means and their particular limited faculties at this point, thinking this is the best for me. How do you know that? Allah knows that. So you can ask if you really want to, you really think that. I'm not saying don't ask. You do, but realize this may not be the actual means. So this is dua al-mas'ala. Now, what are the two types of dua? Quick. Dua al-ibadah and dua al-mas'ala. Very good. You guys all get it. Candy everywhere. There you go. Surah Al-Fatiha has both. Surah Al-Fatiha combines both. So Ibn Taymiyyah says it's the greatest dua because it has both components. The first part is the first part dua al-ibadah or dua al-mas'ala? The first part is dua al-ibadah. And the second half is dua al-mas'ala. Very good. And so Ibn Taymiyyah says this is the best because it combines the best of both of them. Now, the ulama, they differ. Which is better, dua al-ibadah or dua al-mas'ala? We won't go into this, but who thinks dua al-ibadah is better? Who thinks dua al-mas'ala is better? Who's not sure? Allahu alam, la adri. The real winners, mashallah, tabarakallah. No, I'm just kidding. Alhamdulillah. No, that's good. No, I'm happy for you to commit to answers in this regard. Most of the ulama do say that the dua al-ibadah is superior because it's focused more on praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you're obviously more rewarded for it. There's some narrations that suggest this as well. For instance, the one where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being asked about how much of my dua should I dedicate to the salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said 1/3. The Prophet said you can do more. 2/3, he said you can do more. And then basically he said, what do you mean, the whole thing? And he said, if you do the whole thing, Allah will suffice you for everything. But that doesn't mean you never do dua al-mas'ala. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did dua al-mas'ala. So it's not about you only do one. The question is more of a theoretical one. When there's a situation in front of you, you ask and you request. That's the point. And they come together. Okay, bismillah. The Quran begins with dua. That's fadl number one. The Quran begins with a dua. And guess what? The Quran also ends with a dua. It ends with a dua. Surah Nas is a dua. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I take refuge in the Rabb of the Nas. I take refuge in the Lord of mankind. We went through the tafsir of these, right? Or am I just... Did we go through these? We did go through them, right? Yes, yes. So this is the Lord of mankind, رَبُّ النَّاسِ. And then مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the evil whisperings. So as you can see, the beginning of the Quran is asking Allah for every good. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the path of guidance. Meaning, that path is only khair in it. Step after step, khair after khair. And guidance is the most comprehensive thing to ask for everything that is good. So the beginning of the Quran, you ask Allah for everything that is good. And the end of the Quran, you ask Allah for the source of all evil, which is the waswasa inside of the nafs. The waswas from the jinn, from the shaitan of the jinn and mankind. So the beginning, you're asking for good. And then it's as if you're going to the Quran and all the khair, all the guidance, all the hidayah. Then at the end, before you go into the world, you ask Allah to protect you from the evil in the world. So this is the beautiful Quran that is actually between two du'as. Number three, du'a is equated with worship. Du'a is equated with worship itself. The Prophet ﷺ said, the hadith is in Jami' of Tirmidhi, du'a huwa al-ibadah. Du'a is the crux of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيْدَخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ. Your Lord has declared, has said, call upon me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will respond to you. Certainly those too arrogant to worship me will soon enter into the hellfire. You guys tell me, how does this ayah in the Quran, in Surah Ghafir, equate dua with worship? The ayah is, for those who have the notes, you can see it in front of you right there. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord proclaimed, make dua to me and I'll respond to you. Verily those who are too arrogant to worship me will soon enter into the hellfire. How does this ayah equate dua with ibadah, with worship? No, that would just mean that it's wajib, the command in Usul al-Fiqh. Yeah. Look at the clues, guys. Look at the clues. So I'm saying, how does the dua equate with worship? So what should you do when you're looking at the verse? Find which two words? How does this verse equate dua with worship? So the first step is, look at the verse, find the words dua and worship, right? Do you see them? They're still there, right? They're there, right? Do you see them? Okay. Now, how do those connect to each other, those two statements? Excellent. Jazakumullah khair and hires. You saved the whole class as usual, alhamdulillah. Look at the verse. It starts with, make dua to me and I'll respond to you. Then it says, those who are too arrogant to worship me, those who are too arrogant to worship me will be into hellfire. So Allah has made a command to make dua to him. Then he says, and if you don't, but didn't say if you don't do dua, Allah said, if you don't worship me, then they will be in hellfire. So here dua is being equated with worship. And this is so beautiful. And we're going to come to this as one of the virtues of dua. Allah loves to be asked. And it's an act that gives him pleasure. And it's an act that is actually an act of worship. And so if you don't make dua to Allah, it's actually a major sin. And so Allah says, the one who is too arrogant to worship me, meaning you think you can do it by yourself, you think you need no one, أَرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى, you think you're free of need, you think you're Mr. Big Shot or Mrs. Big Shot, or you think you're, you know, able to do whatever you please in this world, and you don't need to make dua to us. That is the point. That is the point. And so those who are too arrogant to worship me, making dua to Allah, humbling themselves, recognizing their need, recognizing their vulnerability, recognizing their weakness, سَيْدَخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِلِينَ, they'll soon enter into the hellfire. And the idea of dua meaning worship, that's the fourth point. Dua includes all forms of worship. Dua includes all forms of worship. Now, there are three ways with our body to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three, you can say, faculties that we use to worship Allah. Number one is, does anyone know what are the faculties that we use to worship Allah? Think about it. When you're worshiping Allah, what are you using? Yeah. You're using your body in which acts of worship? The salah, you're using your body. Very good. What else? Yes, very good. Your tongue. Although your tongue is part of your body. Oh, perfect. Alhamdulillah. Your tongue is part of your body, obviously, but the scholars, they separate it because it's a bit different, right? Your tongue. What do you use for your tongue? Dhikrullah. Quran recitation. A good word. Nasiha. Dua itself. Calling to Allah. Giving counsel to a friend, whatever it may be, a good word, a kind word to your parents, the tongue is utilized as a form of worship. Last one, the heart, very good. The heart, the qalb. And so that's the worship of the heart, the feelings, the sacred emotions, you can call them, reliance upon Allah, love for Allah, hope in Allah, fear of Allah, all of these are the emotions in the heart. So this is the amal of the qalb, the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart. So these are the three ways. Now the dua combines all three of these. You tell me how. Excellent. Body with the hands. Dua, right? Excellent. And you use your tongue, obviously, to speak the dua. And of course, the dua and the hope in Allah, which is necessary in the dua, and the fear and the love is coming from the heart. Jazakum khairan. Excellent. Alrighty. We'll do the fifth one. And then inshallah ta'ala, I see Sheikh Ala with us. Alhamdulillah, we don't want to keep the Sheikh waiting. The Sheikh's here, we want to benefit as much as we can from inshallah ta'ala. So we'll finish up with the fifth one inshallah ta'ala. And then the Sheikh will speak generally about du'a. So number five, virtue number five. It is the most noble and virtuous forms of worship itself. So the virtue is that it is the greatest act of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is nothing more noble to Allah than du'a. The hadith is in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Or afdalul ibadah huwa du'a. That the most virtuous of ibadah is du'a. This is in the Mustadrak of al-Hakim. These du'as say that du'a is the most virtuous form of actual worship. Now, how do you reconcile this with, do you guys know of any other texts that say a different act of worship is better? So there's the hadith, which deed is the most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, the salah on its proper time. Another one, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ayyul Islami khair, which, or Ayyul Islami afdal, which Islam is the best? And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one that is tut'imu al-ta'am, wa taqra'u al-salam, ala man arafta, wa man lam ta'arif. That the best Islam is the one that includes within it feeding others, feeding the poor, spreading the salam to people that you know and people that you don't know. So there's salah, and of course Quran, the best of you, khairukum, man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama, the ones who learn the Quran and the ones who teach it. So many different ahadith and ayat that say this is the best, that is the best, and this is the best. How do we understand this? Principle number one, when the companions would come to the Prophet ﷺ, he would often give them personal advice. They're coming, saying which Islam is the best. The Prophet ﷺ knows this person, and he's directing that person to their particular life. What would be best for them? What would be best for them? That's where there's all these different ahadith. Another person said, Awsini, give me advice. He didn't say, As-salatu wal-aqtiha. He said, La taghdab, don't get angry. The Prophet ﷺ was emotionally intelligent. He knew his companions, and he knew the advice for each person. So that's principle number one to understand how these all fit together. Principle number two is, when it comes to the best forms of things, there's two ways to look at it. Mutlaq or muqayyad. Conditional or unconditional. So mutlaq is unconditional, and then muqayyad is conditional. So when it comes to unconditional, there's agreement amongst the ulama that the greatest act of worship is, as a singular thing, unconditionally, no season, no whatever it may be and whatnot, like it's Hajj time, just at any moment's time, unconditionally, the greatest act of worship will be, what do you think? Salah, salah, salah. And the reason is because it included everything you guys said. Recitation of Quran, dhikrullah, and dua. And so salah is the unconditional, most virtuous act of worship. Then following this, the ulama say unconditionally, then Quran, recitation of Quran. Then following this, dhikrullah. Then following this, dua. And dhikrullah is the dua al-ibadah, which we spoke about. Then dua al-mas'ala. Now, the point here as well is that when we say dua, sometimes dua can mean salah itself. And there's a verse in the Quran where Allah equates salah with dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he equates salah with dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا. Don't be so loud with your salah and don't make it too small. And salah linguistically actually means dua. And then we look in Mufassirun, there's different ways of understanding this. One of them is the dua itself. But in any case, this is the general rank. Now this is unconditional. And dua itself can refer to all of it as well. Conditionally though, and this is a point Ibn al-Qayyim says, at every moment, there is a different deed that is best for you to do at every moment. And that's the point. The first discussion of unconditional is really academic. It doesn't really mean much. It's academic. Because really what's important is, what is the most virtuous action now? And so, for example, between Asr and Maghrib, is Salah the best thing you can do? No, in fact, it's makruh. And so it's not unconditional is the point. When you are hosting guests in your home, is the best thing for you to start praying Qiyam al-Layl and leave them high and dry, just sitting on the couch, twiddling their thumbs? No, actually, it's better not to recite Quran, not to be intense dua, not to pray salah, but it's better to you for do takrim al-duyu, to ennoble your guests. Bir al-walidain, at the moment when it's there, where your parents are there, and not ignoring them and just praying salah or doing some other thing. So you see how the true abid is the one who knows what is the most virtuous at every time. And we'll end with this. This is what it means to be called Ibn al-Waqt, the child of the moment, you can say. Literally, son of time. You can call it the child of the moment. What that means is that they allow the moment to give birth to their actions, whatever the moment demands for them. أَن يَكُونَ مَجْهُولًا, that they become preoccupied on whatever the situation demands itself to come to. When it's time to be firm, they're firm. When it's time to be gentle, they're gentle. When it's time to be with the people, they're with the people. When it's time to be by themselves, they're by themselves. They look for what is the best moments in each of the times. And that's the point there. And we'll end that, inshallah ta'ala, with that. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll call up Sheikh Ala to come and address us, inshallah ta'ala, and continue this vibe of dua. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feek. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll be continuing. So we got to 5, there's 20 actually. So I'm hoping inshallah ta'ala next class we'll do that. More on next class. We actually have another special guest next class as well. That will be continuing on dua inshallah, but we'll talk about that inshallah ta'ala after Sheikh completes. Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah.